was I was angrier. I was more against the world. I was more of that for other reasons. For probably being a teenager, because you just got crazy hormones, for one, but also you start to recognize the world and the troubles of the world. So when you start to resist that and you find that kind of anarchism to against like these movements and organization, and because you start to recognize there's troubles in the world, mm-hmm. does that emotion actually produce the music in that way? Like, is that how it works? Or are you also being influenced by the music? And, you know, I kind of see it as a positive feedback loop. You got to choose it, for one. So why are you choosing it? And then when you start listening to it, what is it reinforcing for you?
We thanked Aaron for his time and left the center, having gained what we think to be valuable insight and perspective from someone well-versed in many aspects of music.
Soon after Aaron, we found our next interviewee, a local guitarist by the name of Matteo Sandate.
Matteo Sandate plays guitar in a local Carbondale band called Let Them Roar, which is coincidentally the band that Aaron Taylor used to drum for. From their website, Let Them Roar is a band much like a stream rising from the Rocky Mountains, woven of strong currents flowing towards the direction of truth and brought together by an inspired sense of purpose.
We knocked on the door of Steve's Guitars, a local venue in Carbondale. Matteo was wrapping up a guitar lesson and waved us in. He's wearing a Colorado's trucker's hat with a ponytail sticking out of the back. He has on a gray button-down shirt, jeans, and boots. The walls of Steve's Guitars are lined floor to ceiling with, well, guitars. Lit for a concert venue, the room is dark with red and yellow lights highlighting the stage. Perfect for an interview. We introduced ourselves, and I mentioned that Noah plays the guitar as well.
Without hesitation, Matteo enthusiastically pointed to a guitar hanging on the wall and handed me a cable. Throughout the interview, having guitars in our hands, Dawson and I both could tell that this was exactly what we had set out for.
Yeah, I'm Matteo Sandate, and I live here in Carbondale, and I teach guitar, I play guitar, and I love to write and compose music.
After Matteo introduced himself, we asked him about musicians he looked up to and had respected. He noted two amazing guitarists, Derek Trucks and Bill Frisell, who you're currently listening to.
Just experiencing them in real life, it's beyond words. It really hits you in the heart. It's not so cerebral, it's like beyond words that what they convey with their music is really powerful. And I feel like it's coming from a really loving place. Like they love what they do, and it really shows. You know.
We then asked if Matteo had wanted to or been able to move people like Bill Frisell and Derek Trucks had moved him.
We got to open up for this band called Elephant Revival. And we played a song that we had written, and a little bit down the road, someone that was at that concert came up to us and said, "Hey, you know what? That song, it was called Ruthie's, really meant a lot to that person because that night their friend had died. And they weren't gonna come out to the concert, but they did, and they said that song really spoke to them and really helped them get through that time of their life."
Because we both felt comfortable at this point, we wanted to ask Matteo about stories he might have of why the music that moves him does. So we gently pressed on. He played a tune of his and almost got to telling us about the story behind it. But we quickly saw and heard his hesitation in divulging what made this song so remarkable. So we didn't press on further.
Yeah, it was just a little snippet of a song called The Moon Smiling Down. And that song took a long time to get where it was at. It took a lot of like life things happening, like sad things and emotional things, and to where it like wrote itself. Hmm. You know, it's just an expression of life. Like hearing the lyrics makes more sense. It might make more sense. But yeah, it's just every song is a little different.
We wanted to know what Mateo enjoyed playing most. He reached into his bag and pulled out a score of Bach's sonatas and partitas for violin. Pages tattered and stained with coffee, the covers ripped off, he opened the book and began to play. Gentle hum of the amplifier and guitars in our hands, it was impossible to refrain from playing, so naturally we were quietly fiddling around almost the whole interview. Finally, after the talking was over, we got the chance to play.
What in music moves us?
I know it when I feel it.
Talking to and playing with Mateo got me giddy, and the more I reflect on being able to play with such a skilled and humble musician, the more I find myself moved by that experience. I was moved while we played, I was moved when we finished. For about an hour after we walked out of the doors of Steve's Guitars, I had a smile so big that my cheeks got sore. Why was that experience of playing with Mateo so powerful? Is it that connection that truly moves people?
Soon after our interview with Mateo, we got the chance to step up and perform at our school's biannual music program, the Coffee House. There's candy and treats for everyone, and the venue has an audience of about 350 people. It is a pretty intimate setting, with peers, friends, and parents watching you. It is the perfect time to gauge face and see what music people connect with.
I get out of my seat in the audience and step up to the stage. I can hear my heart pounding in my head. I pick up a yellow electric Fender guitar and plug it into its amplifier. It takes me longer than it should because my hands are trembling. I look around and see my friends and classmates with me. The lights are beating down on us and I can barely make out faces in the audience. My breath shaky, I step up to the mic. As soon as I do, every fear, every worry, every insecurity shooting through my mind melts away. I nod to my bandmates, Dawson counts us off, and we begin to play.
The start is off, and we can all hear it. But instead of pushing through and maybe trying to recover, we simply stop and start again. The second time goes much more smoothly, and we end up playing the song at least half well. Came into this project understanding that music is moving in many different ways, from physical to emotional to actual movements taking place. We found from talking with Aaron that the instruments we play influence how we are moved by music. Even the culture a song is created in influences the emotion that the song elicits. We also found an intense emotional resonance when we play with people, but we had yet to find a true story behind it all.
A huge factor that plays a role in why people are affected by the music they're affected by is their past. The stories and familiarity and nostalgia they have surrounding that song. However, We didn't anticipate how hard it would be to coax out these stories and how hesitant people would be to share them.
Talking to people, we could obviously see that there were stories behind the songs. However, few were willing to share these stories. We saw that even though they could talk about the music, they couldn't bring themselves to share the more intimate details.
Dawson and I realized, just as it is for us, music and the stories behind them can be some of the most personal and private aspects of our lives. Music affects people so personally that sharing stories is the same as sharing who they really are, and most people are far too wise to give those details to two teenage boys.
We had been asking all these people what types of music are moving to them. We finally realized that we hadn't asked each other the same question. As musicians, we could really see how and why we are moved by the songs that we are.
When we asked each other what music moves us, the song that instantly comes to mind, that consistently brings me close to tears, is Dink's Song, performed by Oscar Isaac and Marcus Mumford. The song starts off with his beautiful, open-sounding guitar.
Like a cannonball. Oh, fare thee well, my honey, fare thee well.
Over the whole thing, the song is sad and lonely and remains poignant and beautiful, and the song moves me like no other. I don't have the vocabulary to describe the feeling I get in my gut whenever it plays. There's this sadness about it, but it also makes me immensely happy. I loved the song the first time I heard it, even without any memories or special moments tied to it, but soon after hearing the song, I did make a memory. It isn't especially prominent or grandiose, but both me and my dad loved this song, and I remember just once on a car ride to school, the song came on, and me and my dad sang it together. I had already fallen in love with the song before that car ride, but I can't say that the memory of it doesn't intensify the emotion of the song, because it does.
My older brother is a jazz saxophonist. When we were growing up, he was a part of groups like Jazz Aspen. I would hear him practice songs like Take Five, both at home and on the stage. Seeing his passion for music and hearing him play was probably one of the biggest influences that led me to being a musician. The song that makes me feel the most emotion and holds the most memories associated with it and has stuck with me the most from his playing is Take Five by the Dave Brubeck Quartet. The song's upbeat tempo makes me want to move. I feel that urge that makes me want to tap my feet and groove with the song. This song makes me feel. It is not an emotion that I can put my finger on. Maybe it is part nostalgia, but there's also something in my gut that is moving to me.
It's heartwarming to read that, and I'm honored, and I'm glad to be, you know, a part of your experience in a positive way, and that's what hearing Take Five was like for me, and just hearing, you know, my mentors and stuff, and people who are more accomplished than me play music and really inspire me. So it's that's what it's all about, you know, sharing the music with others. And Take Five is a great example of that, in the sense that it is an iconic jazz tune.
Music affects me in ways I can't begin to articulate, but nothing feels as good as playing with people.
When we play, we lose ourselves in the rhythm, melody, and the people we play with. When we play with others, it is a conversation between us, each taking their turn to speak.
beyond the fear and the doubts I may have on stage, some of the strongest connections I've made with anybody have been through music. Some of the best friends I have ever made are because we were both bored on a Friday night and said, "Wanna jam?" The power music holds over me is immense, and the more we lose ourselves in the music, the less I'm a guitarist.
The less I'm a drummer.
We are not truly separate from the people we are playing with. I return to how I learned to play in the first place, and I again simply become a musician. My name is Noah Goyne.
I'm Dawson Strumpler. Thank you for listening.
This is KDNK Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. You are listening to the Andy Zanke Youth Empowerment Program, and if you just tuned in, that was a podcast from Noah and Dawson from the Colorado Rocky Mountain School talking about why music moves us. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for being here. That was fantastic.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. So tell us, how did you pick this topic other than... I mean, clearly you are passionate musicians and that comes through in your story, but how did you guys decide together to pursue this topic?
Yeah, it's a lot simpler than you might think. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a pretty natural topic for us to choose. And when Eric told us to, you know, pick partners and choose a part, like choose topic, pick partners, we looked at each other across the room and nodded, and then Dawson came over and we sat next to each other, and then we started to work on it.
Mm. Noah and I have been playing music together for pretty much the whole time we've been at CRMS, so it was pretty natural to be partners.
Yeah.
Was it easy to work together, knowing that you probably get along musically? Was it easy to work in that atmosphere together?
Yeah, we were both pretty enthusiastic about it, so that made the work seem a little bit less like work,
right?
Which is good.
It's not work when you're really passionate about it.
Yeah
Well, cool. So what was the most enjoyable part of this, other than exploring something you're passionate about?
Well, I think being able to pursue this idea of how it moves us is kind of diving into the part of music that is intriguing to a lot of us, and is emotional, and there's a lot of different things that go along with that. So I think that was a really enjoyable part for me.
It was also, it's one of those things that nobody really thinks about, nobody considers until you ask them. And what you heard, I mean, we had so many people who, when we asked, they were just so shocked because they had never thought about it themselves. So being able to see people's reaction and see like the smiles start to light up as they really like think about that part of who they are, is that was pretty cool.
Yeah, you clearly made a lot of connections in the community and got some good stories behind that. But you also said in the podcast that it was challenging to get people to share their intimate stories behind why music impacts them. So was that the biggest challenge for you guys, or was it, what, expand on that?
I mean, at a certain point, we realized that it's just some of those stories, like Mateo's, they're just so clearly personal, and, you know, people are very reticent to share that with teenagers. So it was a challenge for sure, but eventually we just accepted that is part of the story, mm-hmm. is that it's just so hard, and like bringing about all these emotions and feelings that people have associated with these songs that they love is a huge part of our podcast.
Yeah, well, that certainly comes through. Did you guys learn more about yourselves as musicians through this process, or about music in general? Or
yeah, I think being able to kind of reflect on why we love music was kind of interesting. Of course, like Noah said, it's not something we think about every day. So I think that was kind of made me think in a more personal way about the music I listen to, the music I love, and how that is different from other people around me.
Right. Anything else? So is there any takeaways you want to share with the community before we sign off here today? Anything you want to add?
I mean, it was just so cool hearing everybody's thing. And I think I would encourage anybody who is listening to really think about it, because you start and then you just don't stop and you get so absorbed by it. I mean, that's what happened for us. We just got so into the project and into the question. And I think we both took a lot out of it, and it was pretty meaningful.
Fantastic. Anything else?
No, I think Noah summed it up.
All right. Well, truly, thank you, gentlemen, for being here today and sharing the thoughts about people in our community and why music moves us. You've really left me with a question, so I appreciate that. And I want to say thanks to everyone in Mr. Eric Skeef's writing class over at Colorado Rocky Mountain School. It's been a really enjoyable afternoon, and we will look forward to 4 more podcasts next Monday with the remaining students from your class. And looks like you have one more thing to say.
If you haven't heard by now, it is our friend Hayden Austin's birthday. So I would like to say happy birthday, Hayden.
Yeah, Hayden, happy birthday. He's gotten 3 shout outs today. He's feeling pretty good. All right. Well, thank you to everyone who tuned in to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, and a special thanks to Eric Skeef over at Colorado Rocky Mountain School for bringing his creative nonfiction and radio English class over to Katie and Kay today. Tune in next week at 2:30 to hear the remaining stories. Have a peaceful afternoon, and we will stay tuned for local programming.